Kelver. Councillor Patton.
Thank you. I'm definitely going to support Councillor Stock's motion, but I just want to make a couple of slightly different points and maybe one slightly unpopular point as well. It seems to me that the issues facing Colchester Hospital, as we all know, are not just this particular issue or this particular moment. They've been going on for a really, really long time. I don't know about you, I've lost count how many chief executives, how many chairmen have been through. And I was really struck in the last few issues of the Sunday Times, the appointment section. They've been advertising for a new chairman of the trust, 3 days a week, £45,000. I would suggest to you, for an organisation of the size and the complexity and the amount of money flowing through it, that £45,000 for a chairman for an organisation in crisis for 3 days a week is peanuts if people are serious about addressing some of those issues. So it seems to me that there are some other things that in writing you might include in your letter. The first of which is this. For the last few months, Colchester has been a regular, Colchester Hospital has been a regular appearance on mainstream national television news, and certainly over the last month or so. And that casts a really bad light on this area. It's inevitably, and all the way through, been a really very negative story. And although we see Colchester being another place, another district, all those sorts of things, for most of the country, they look at this lump of Essex all in the same place. So I think this reflects very poorly on us, particularly when there are other issues such as regeneration and things like that that we think about. And a good, efficient local hospital is a very important part of the story of any organisation or any family looking to move into an area. The second thing I think is this. Part of Colchester's problem as a hospital is the same as most hospitals around the country, which is that we residents are not using our medical resources properly. Too many people are using accident and emergency instead of going to doctors or call-in centres. And so whilst it is absolutely appropriate, and given the way this announcement has come out and the failure of leadership and things like that to write this letter, I still feel personally that we have a duty, if we want the or if we have an NHS that we want and we need, that we should use it properly. And as I say, too many people. I was in accident and emergency in London not so long ago, an accident on my bike. I was taken by ambulance, and as I came out of it, there was somebody going in saying, I've got a sore tooth. Is this the right place to be? So I think that's an issue. And the third thing, final thing I'd really say about it, is just in terms of our infrastructure. We've had a very heated conversation earlier about a motion that's been referred to Cabinet, which is really an infrastructure conversation, which was about some actions that Essex County Council have taken and its impact on us and our district and things like that. It seems to me that all our infrastructure, not just our hospitals, is under real threat and real challenge at the moment. Our roads, our schools, we know there were some cries from the audience about immigration and things like that. We are really being very challenged, and the hospital is not immune to that. And I think we have a responsibility as a district council not just to moan about this issue, but to try and think very positively about what we might be able to do to help and assist improve the situation.
Thank you, Ken. I have three more speakers on this subject, and then I will close it because we still have a lot of business to get through tonight, okay? Councillor Keynes.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. There is another side of the hospital, of course, that we haven't spoken about, and many, many expectant mothers count it as the same thing, and that's the maternity ward in Clacton Hospital. My daughter-in-law went in for a grandchild on Thursday by caesarean, and I can tell you that before she went, because she was reading all this in the paper about how bad the hospitals are and they were under emergency measures, she was very, very worried about going in. And I expect other expectant mothers are as well. But I can tell you, the staff there were wonderful. My granddaughter was born on Thursday, and all is well. And I hope that other expectant mothers realise that their service is very good and they're in safe hands. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Keynes, and congratulations to becoming a grandfather. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Well, guess who had the luck to be in A&E on Saturday week back when I'm sitting there waiting, and unfortunately my wife hurt herself and we were having some, she was being looked after. And I'm sitting there bored out of my brains, looking up at the television screen. The 6 o'clock news comes on and I think, oh, I'll watch that. First item on the news is something about Syria or Afghanistan. The second item is Colchester A&E is being closed. So I look at the people in front of me, they look at me, I look behind me, they look at me, and we wonder, what are we doing here and are we safe? I have to say two things. First and foremost, we were looked after well there. Secondly, I'd like to reinforce something Councillor Patton said, which is when I went up to the nurses afterwards, or the receptionist, which nurses, I said to them, what's going on here? He said, well, you're all right, because my wife, unfortunately, has broken her kneecap. And so that's okay. It's because, and I said, what is it? It's because people aren't taking responsibility for their health. And she said, exactly. People are coming in for coughs and colds. They're coming in for minor stuff that can be sorted out either at a pharmacist or in a doctor's. And more importantly, and this is the real point of this story, is the fact that if you go to our wonderful minor injuries unit at Clacton Hospital, I've had to go there on several occasions, especially as the doctors in my area have been in somewhat disarray but are now being sorted. And they have been nothing but wonderful. It's the old-fashioned medicine. You get people you can talk with and have a discussion with, not be told and not be spoken down to, but actually you can have a decent conversation about what's wrong with you and get somewhere. Not only that, they see you efficiently. We went in there on a Saturday afternoon with my wife, and we were seen in half an hour. X-ray was done instantly, which was being watched by a consultant in Colchester Hospital, which then necessitated us to go over there for treatment. And I have to say, I would speak very, very highly of it. So do remember, we do have an excellent hospital locally in Clacton, and that's up to all of us to maintain and keep. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. And our last speaker is Councillor Howard.
Thank you, Chair. Just to be clear, I fully support this motion and will be voting for it. And I support the comments by a number of members about how good many of the staff are. However, it would be wrong not to highlight that it's not completely trouble-free. With it being in special measures, it's come to my attention previously that the focusing on the troubled areas is having knock-on effects on other areas. So by giving attention to the areas that are under the microscope, other areas are starting to suffer, noticeably with delays in appointments. There's issues to do with the constant need to meet government targets. So obviously if there's a number of days they have to do X in, they do it. But then time after time, both myself, many other people that I know have received letters saying your appointment has been cancelled due to unforeseen circumstances. And this happens very frequently. The secretaries of the relevant consultants have no idea why, etc., etc. Appointments seem unable to help or cast any light on it. So there are serious questions about the administration of the hospital. Now I'm not saying that the people that are doing the jobs are doing the jobs badly. I'm not saying that they're not trying to do the jobs. There are a lot of pressures. But the special measures is causing knock-on effects, and the trying to jump through hoops for the government at the same time is causing problems. So all of these things cause additional stress on a hospital that's greatly under pressure. And I believe this is also made worse by the increase in local population that we've seen in recent years. It doesn't seem to me that the hospital has kept up with this. That's not necessarily a problem directly of the hospital itself, but the services do not seem to be increasing their capacity to match the demand. And obviously this is then compounded by the educational aspect, which several councillors mentioned, where people are attending A&E where they shouldn't be. So in summary, I fully support the motion. I fully support that many members of staff are working very hard, and they shouldn't be talked down by the press or other people for their role. They're doing their best, and they're not as appreciated as they should be. And I will be supporting this motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Stock. Back.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. A lot of people spoke to the motion there, and everyone was supportive of it, for which I'm very grateful. I'm particularly grateful to Councillor Calver for his comments, because I had originally been thinking of just asking a question on this, but I know how frustrating it is for me sometimes to hear a question that really piques my interest, that I want to get stuck into, to add my contribution to. And of course, because of the nature of the questioning system, it's a question, it's an answer, it's a supplementary, it's another answer. But for anyone else, there's no involvement in that. So I thought if I chucked this in as a motion, we could have some sort of discussion and debate, and I think that was the right thing to do, because clearly I'm not the only one with these opinions. We've had some really interesting points brought out tonight, I think. The wider impact, as Councillor Patton very astutely pointed out, this does have a much wider impact on the general economy of the area. You know, you've only got to imagine, if you are thinking of relocating your business, thinking of relocating yourself, would you want to come to an area that's got such a shocking hospital, according to the national newspapers? You'd probably think of going somewhere else. That can't be good. The bit about the usage, people going into A&E inappropriately, clearly is a massive issue. But to be fair to people, you know, lots of people have very little impact, very little to do with the health services until they get a bit older. And you can go 10 or 20 years without even seeing a GP, and then suddenly something happens, and you simply don't know. You don't know where you're supposed to go. Some of us are very experienced at it. I didn't know until recently that you could get x-rays done at the Clacton unit, as Councillor Turner referred to, and I totally agree with him. It's an excellent, excellent facility. You're in and out of there hours and hours quicker than if you go to Colchester General. It's fantastic. Why we don't have that same facility at the Harwich Hospital, which, again, maybe we do, but I don't think we do. I only found out that you could do it at the Clacton Hospital by accident. There needs to be some sort of education, I would suggest, nationally, because I can't imagine this is an issue restricted just to us, but you know, where you go when you've got different conditions. I know in my doctor's surgeries, they've got signs up saying doctors don't do teeth, go to your dentist if you've got a tooth problem, which suggests they have people going to the doctors with tooth problems, and that's clearly an issue. I won't go into too much more detail. I think all the issues really have been covered. I've tried to, as I say, the wording of my motion, and indeed, Madam Chairman, as I read it out, I was almost minded to move an amendment to my own motion, because I haven't strictly referenced the hospital in the actual motion. However, I think it does stand on its own. I've said the Council instructs Chief Executive to write to the... I haven't actually said on what issue, but I think it's fairly clear from the preamble, and I trust members will accept that. I don't think I'm amending my own motion at this stage. And other than that, Chairman, I'd like to add my congratulations to Councillor Keynes and his daughter on their new addition.
Before we go to the vote, I think I have I'll put Councillor Stock in the fact that I believe you do get x-rays at Harwich Hospital, don't you? And physiotherapy there, I believe. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to the vote on that motion. Are we all in favour of... Thank you. Thank you very much. It's unanimous. We now go on to 14, to consider any recommendations from the Cabinet. The first one's amendment to the Council's Constitution. Councillor Guglielmi.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Very pleased that you remember my name. Yes, the Constitution Working Party has met with officers several times during the summer to try and complete phase three of our constitution, of the review of the constitution. But because of the recent double by-elections, which has diverted officers' time to those duties, we've had to postpone the scheme of delegation, which we hope to bring to Council either in February or in March, being very aware that the February meeting will be the budget meeting. Firstly, I would like to thank Lisa Hastings yet again for the massive amount of work and time she has given to this review and ensuring that our constitution is, first of all, up to date with current legislation, and secondly, to remove duplication and that all plans and strategies are up to date. This review has looked at five sections: the articles, budget and policy framework and financial procedure rules, access to information rules, codes and protocols, and members' allowances scheme, all of which are clearly laid out in summary on pages 72 to 75 and highlighted in yellow in the rest of the report where changes have taken place. I don't intend to go through every single change, as these have been all been agreed by the Constitutional Working Party, but I would highlight that the articles now acknowledge the new community participation boards in the shape of the locality boards, the Education and Skill Committee, the Rural Infrastructure Panel, the Youth Strategy Group, and the Highway Panel, all of which have been set up with partners to improve the quality of life of residents and members alike. I therefore, Madam Chairman, would like to move the commendation on page 71.
Right. Have any... Councillor Talbot?
Seconder.
Oh, could we have a seconder, please? Councillor Page. Councillor Talbot, you wish to speak?
Thank you, Chairman. As Carlo said, it's been an extremely good and interesting working party. It's met a number of times, and I could say in all honesty, I don't think the politics of the members have entered into it once. They've just been a complete consideration of the Constitution on the basis that every one of us is responsible for it, and every one of us may have to rely upon it at some time as our particular Bible for doing business. But I did indicate that I wish to move an amendment to on page 87 of your agenda, and I have a few copies here, including one for your good self, Chairman, which perhaps Janie or somebody will pass on. It's a page headed The Role and Function of the Chairman. Nothing to criticise you tonight. You've had quite a bash, girl. But the fact is, you've got through it anyway. But it says in the book, if you look, Role and Function of the Chairman. The Chairman and Vice Chairman will be elected by the Council annually. The Chairman and Vice Chairman shall not be members of the Cabinet. I'm asking to be inserted there a line that says, the Chairman shall not be a member of any standing committee. And it then carries on, the Chairman, or in their absence, the Vice Chairman, will have the following roles and responsibilities. And the remainder of the clause stays as printed in the book. Our Chairman, colleagues, though elected after nomination by one party group, should, once elected, be the representative of all the other 59 members of the Council. And the only necessary political act that she or he may be called upon to make is when it's necessary to give a casting vote. When I was first elected to a council, we had a mayor, in fact not a chairman, the mayor, when elected, was ex officio member of all the council standing committees, and he was also ex officio a member of the local magistracy and used to sit in the court for court hearings in the course of the year of office. That, like a number of other things, have changed over the years, and generally speaking, around the country, most chairmen do the chairman or the mayor's job as a job on its own and not a job mixed up with anything else. Council committees here work on an adversarial basis, and if a chairman is a member of that committee and an active appointed member, then there's going to be times when the adversarial conflict at a committee meeting, I think, slightly sullies the role of the chairman when she is acting as the civic representative of this authority on behalf of every elected member, not just the member of the administration, what that happens to be from time to time. There was a practice on this council until quite recently that the chairman had just that one job and no other job, but the constitution that we drew up never said one way or the other about the particular issue, so there was nothing against the constitution that allowed the administration, if it chose to give committees as well to the council chairman. I actually feel that now we are moving to a constitution which will operate from May 2015, where members coming onto that council will know that constitution and not went on before, that this is an ideal time to insert in our constitution the clause concerning the role of the chairman, and where the chairman and vice chairman are excluded from membership of the cabinet, I'm proposing that the chairman, not the chairman and vice chairman, the chairman be excluded from membership of any of the council's standing committee. Thank you, Chairman. I propose.
Thank you. And your seconder?
I will.
Councillor Howan. Thank you. Where do we go from here? Does anybody wish to speak on this? Councillor Guglielmi, Councillor Stock. Councillor Guglielmi first.
Mike.
Just to remind you, Councillor, that you're speaking to the amendment, okay?
Yes, hello, yeah. Yes, Madam Chairman, I will not supporting Councillor Talbot's amendment. This is something that the working party kind of touched on, and there were some kind of split feelings on it. I understand where he's coming from, I understand the feelings behind his amendment, but by negating the chairman the right to sit on committees and to represent his or her residents, I think that would be taking a step too far. We've had this year the chairman sits on a couple of different committees, and that's not conflicted with any way, shape or form the work of the council. I really have problems with being draconian and introducing this amendment because, as I said, it will take away the rights of the member to represent their residents and also to take part in the committee work, which is a massively important part of the work of the council. So, Madam Chairman, I will not be supporting Councillor Talbot's amendment.
Thank you. Councillor Stock.
Thank you, Chairman. I understand where Councillor Talbot is coming from, and I respect that view, but I don't support the amendment as he's worded it. I know that on our neighbouring authority in Colchester, they have a very strict understanding that the mayor, and it is a mayor, I suppose, Chairman, is completely non-political, and I know that when someone is elevated to the mayoralty of Colchester Council, they don't even attend group meetings anymore. And they distance themselves completely from their political party, which personally I think is wrong, because you are still an elected member. But I suppose that's kind of a bit like the Speaker of the House purports to be completely non-political and even doesn't stand for a political party at election. But the situation we have here I think is a lot different. I have some sympathy with the spirit of what Councillor Albert is trying to propose, but I think it's too draconian, to use the word I think Councillor Guglielmi just used. When I was chairman last year, the only committee I sat on was the Standards Committee, which I chaired, and I effectively chaired it kind of ex officio as the chairman of the council, and I think that actually worked. So whilst I understand what Councillor Talbot is saying about the more political committees, I would like to think that the Standards Committee certainly isn't that. It's the sort of least, the most non-political of all the committees, and I think that there's a committee where the chairman, whoever he or she is and whatever party he or she represents, sitting on that committee is not a bad thing. In fact, we did even discuss, and I say we because it wasn't just this side, it was proposed from the other side, that maybe the chairman should be a standing member, if not the standing chairman, of the Standards Committee. And I believe some authorities do that. So I sympathise with the spirit. I understand what Councillor Talbot is trying to do. He's trying to sort of elevate the role of chairman, take it out of the political arena a bit. Unfortunately, I think it's impossible to do it. And as someone who sat through a year as chairman, it is difficult sometimes to, you know, it's a very anachronistic position that dates back to before the cabinet system was set up. So the chairman these days is sort of just a civic function. When I was chairman, I wanted to be chairman, and I actually did choose to be chairman, because I wanted to chair the council meetings and do that effectively and well, in my humble opinion, shall we say. And the other stuff didn't really interest me at all, quite frankly. I think a lot of it, going to meetings in East London or something, or you know, somewhere hundreds of miles away, I didn't see it had any relevance to the residents of Tendring. Whether I don't think I was particularly overtly political, and I don't think most of our chairmen have been when they've been in that role, but I don't think you should be excluded from sitting on a committee just because you happen to occupy the chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Stock.